Welcome to episode 49, the Chalk Dinosaur Podcast. I'm here today, it's Tuesday, April 30th. It's 2:17 p.m. I've just slept about 12 hours because we've just finished the most dense bout of playing and traveling we've ever done, me and my brother Nick. We just played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Four shows in 4 days, and we went to four different states. I don't know how much driving we did over that time, but it was quite a lot because we went from Pittsburgh to Morgantown, nice easy drive, and then drove back to Pittsburgh on Wednesday, and then on Thursday we played in Columbus, 3-hour drive, also not bad, went to Columbus, played there and stayed there. Then we went from Columbus to Nashville, which was our first time in Nashville. It was about 6-hour drive, not bad, not great, you know, getting a little longer, especially on day 3 in a row. And then we went from Nashville to Indianapolis the next day, about 5 or 6 hours, and capped it off there. And so that was, for us, the most busy, densely packed 4 days we've done. And every day was about a 90-minute set. So not short sets, which, see, the previous most busy, little tour thing we've done is with, in March, we did four shows with Dopapod. Well, we did three shows with Dopapod and then one show with Houseplant. And that was over the course of about a week. We had a day off in between each of the shows. So we had like a travel day and kind of a relaxed day. And the sets were also quite short. They were 45 minutes as the opener support for Dopapod. So nice, easy, short sets. And, you know, we had the day off in between each of the shows to allow us to kind of just chill. So in terms of time, not as efficient. In terms of money, not as efficient. But in terms of sustainability, you know, that was much more sustainable in terms of the rigors of having to unload, you know, set up, do all your driving, play the show, longer set, and having to tear down and do it again the next day. And for us, relatively, that was quite rigorous for us. That was the most we've ever done. And we met up with our manager, Rob, on the way back after our little tour had completed. And we met him for lunch. Well, we didn't eat lunch. We just met him. We had a beer in Columbus because I was right on the way home. And we were talking to him about how that was quite a doozy for us. And he said that he laughed at that because when The Works, his band, was really going full blast. He said there was a one time they did 30 shows in 31 days. And that sounds like complete lunacy to me. I can't comprehend doing that. That's crazy. I mean, 4 days in a row was quite taxing. I could not imagine doing that many days in a row. But, you know, then I also look at, I remember seeing the Pittsburgh Pirates schedule just posted on the wall at some bar somewhere, and remember thinking that was complete lunacy. Professional baseball schedule. They had 4 days off in a whole month, and I thought that was a crazy lifestyle. Not one I'm interested in either. I don't want to be doing that. But, you know, doing something that's sustainable is really what I'm after. What is a sustainable level where we can continue doing it without burning ourselves out, but while keeping, you know, a forward progression, keeping growth? That's the balance I'm looking to achieve. And I think Nick's on the same page as me there. We both want to make sure that we keep it sustainable, something that we continue to enjoy doing, something that we can continue doing into the future without sacrificing. Well, for me, my number one criteria from the start is, you know, I don't want to sacrifice physical health. I don't want to sacrifice mental health. And I don't want to sacrifice relationships. You know, my relationships with family, my wife, my friends, you know. And let's see. Number four, I don't want to sacrifice my love of music, which some people, that happens because they go so hard that they stop enjoying what they're doing. And I definitely don't want to get to that point because that's like my favorite thing. So, I mean, if I lose that, then that's a failure for me. That's what it means to fail, is to get to a point where I don't want to do it anymore and I don't enjoy doing it. That's really what I'm trying to avoid. So at this point, you know, it's been at a sustainable level. Like we're able to sustain this. Yeah, I guess I'll talk about each show a little bit and explain how this little trip went. So Wednesday and Thursday, so Morgantown and Columbus, we played with a band called Sugar Nova. And it's a artist project from Luke Miller, who plays in a band called Lotus, which is a band that's influenced us a lot over the years, inspired us a lot. This is his side project. It's more on the electronic side. It kind of fuses house music and electronic music, but also has some elements of live instrumentation, a very heavy vocal influence, because the other member of the group is Rachel Eisenstadt, I believe. And is a vocalist and does a lot of live vocals and singing. And Luke is doing some live guitar and also, you know, sequencing the beats and the set. And so it's kind of quite similar to what me and my brother Nick are doing. It's in that same realm of kind of a hybrid between electronic music and live rock music, I guess you'd call it. I'm not really sure. But so it's a good fit musically. And was happy to get to play some shows with them because I've kind of peripherally been working with Luke, either, you know, supporting, like I played some shows with Luke the Knife and Lotus Festival, and kind of, and did a remix, a Lotus remix once. I mean, just on my own did one because they were having a contest and I did one and submitted it. That was like 10 years ago. Then I did a Sugar Nova remix and have kind of been working peripherally for a bit. And so it's good to get to do some more with Luke and get to meet Rachel and get to see Sugar Nova for the first time. Oh no, I actually saw them in Pittsburgh and they played at Club Cafe earlier this year. And that was a good turnout there. And so yeah, just it's cool to get to link up with them. So Wednesday we went to Morgantown. We played at a venue called 123 Pleasant Street, which we played there. We played there about, 5 years ago? That's the last time we played there. It was 2019, and we played there with Fletcher's Grove, who is from West Virginia, and Goose was the other band. And it's funny, I always have to like tell this story because when we played that show, it was an official Dome Fest pre-party, which Dome Fest is a music festival put on by Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. And this was the a lot of times these festivals will have like pre-party shows, you know, a month ahead of time, kind of to promote, you know, they'll have a pre-party with some of the bands that will be playing at the festival. They'll hold it in another location that's, you know, a little bit away from the festival. So, that was the pre-party for Dome Fest. And we played first, and Goose played second, and Fletcher's Grove played third. So I always like think it's crazy. I think that might have been the last time anyone ever saw Goose, you know, as one of the openers in like a 200 cap room. It was very, very interesting to think about what transpired for Goose after that. But, yeah, 1, 2, 3, same venue. It's really nice. I mean, I love, Morgantown always feels like very homey to me because I spent a lot of summers going there to visit Cheat Lake. And one of my best friends had his family had a house on the lake. So they would always go there in the spring. I mean, in the summer, and invited me to go with them a lot of times. So I would spend a lot of time in the summer, the summers growing up, you know, at Cheat Lake, hanging out by the lake, fishing, boating, sitting around fires, cooking stuff outside, just that kind of fun lake house woods vibe. It was great. So I've always had a soft spot for Morgantown. All right, I'm going to stop talking in the Australian accent right now. I've been consuming some content that had an Australian accent in it and can't stop using it. I like it. I like it. Yeah. But anyway, 123 Pleasant Street. It was a Wednesday when we played this past week, and Morgantown, that was a failure of a show, I think. There was very few people there. There was maybe like 20 people there, and didn't sell any merch. It was not a good show. It was fun, but not a good show for us. The next day, Thursday, that was in Columbus, that was a success, and we've still never played a bad show in Columbus. People always come out to the Summit, which is where it was. So this show was great. The room felt full. You know, it wasn't jam packed full, but it was full. Felt like a good crowd there, and you know, sold a decent amount of merch. So that was a success. And then the next day was Friday in Nashville, and we were very unsure of what to expect. We didn't know what was going to happen because, for one, we've never played in Nashville. I don't think we've played in Tennessee at all, but we never played in Nashville. The band that we were playing with, the Afternooners, they were from Chattanooga, so not, you know, a couple hours away from Nashville, I think that's how far it is. It's not, you know, it's a different market, but they definitely had a closer connection to Nashville than we did. So we really didn't know how it was going to go, especially going in as like a headliner, first time in a city. We just didn't know if anybody would come out. And then also the venue changed about a month before the show. It was originally scheduled for a venue called Third in Lindsley, and then about a month before the show, it got moved to a place called Eastside Bowl, and there's a lot of confusion about that, and I don't think ticket holders were informed that the venue got moved, and there's just a lot of kind of last minute trying to make sure everybody knew that their tickets that they bought before the move were still good, and trying to just make sure everybody knew that the venue did move. So we're a little worried about that. But it ended up being a great show, a success. You know, it wasn't a huge crowd, but it was a really good crowd. I think 50 people. I think 50 people total. And they bought a ton of merchandise. And they also seemed to be very engaged and receptive to the music, which was great. They were all standing in front of the stage for the whole time and, you know, bought a bunch of merch and had a lot of nice things to say afterwards. And the other band, the Afternooners, who we met for the first time, were super fun. They had a really fun set, and then just like hanging out with those guys was really a good time, and we really enjoyed that and getting to meet them. It's one of my favorite things about doing this traveling and touring. I feel like we're meeting all these people who are really great musically, but just also great to hang out with. And I guess because it's interesting because, you know, everybody doing this, especially in this scene of music, is, I guess, baseline just somewhat of a similar person, because they love doing music, they love a certain type of music. And so a lot of times we meet these people and they're just, you know, instantly feel connected to them and have a really good time talking to them and hanging out with them. So that was like one of my favorite parts of the trip, hanging out with them and getting to know them a bit. They were driving in a converted shuttle bus. It's like a retired shuttle bus. And they had like converted it to have bunks and like a little living room. And they had a N64. They might have had a GameCube too, like a DVD player and a collection of DVDs, which after I looked at their DVD collection, I was like, it makes sense that I get along with these guys really well. I can just tell by this DVD collection that we have a lot of shared taste here. It's pretty funny. And that show ended early, which was nice. I mean, I really enjoy an early show. So the show was over like 10:30, and they went out to a bar after the show and invited us to come with them. So we did, and had a drink or two with them there, and then went back to the hotel and headed to Indy the next morning, which was at a place called Mousetrap. That was the Indianapolis venue. And this would be our first time playing in Indy as like a co-headliner. So we played at this festival last summer called Harmony Valley Music Festival. It's kind of near Indy. And I think that played a big part in our success on Saturday in Indy, which Indy was a success for sure. That was the best show of the whole run in terms of like ticket sales. And so we played at Harmony Valley last summer, and then we opened for Dizgo, who is from Indiana, in February. So those two shows, I guess, really set this show up well. But yeah, we weren't sure how it was going to go, and it was our first time to the Mousetrap. And we were excited because after we booked the show, we added Squeaky Feet, who we played with in December. They're from Colorado, and they got added to the show, and we really loved those guys when we played with them. You know, we loved hanging out with them and talking to them, and then also their music. They're all extremely talented and skilled musicians, just like top tier players. And so we were really blown away with them, and we were super excited that they were going to be playing with us in Indy. So that show went really well. It was a cool place. It was like, I don't know how big wasn't a huge venue. It was like, I don't know how I can describe it. No, it doesn't matter. It was like about 300 people, I think, capacity. It was kind of like a long hall. And then another long hall, like if you imagined like a long hall separated by a wall in the middle, and on one side is the stage and a bar, and on the other side is kind of a pool room, loungy place, but they're kind of connected. You could hear the music throughout the whole building, but and then there was like an outside area with a bunch of tables, big concrete like patio. And they were amplifying the music through speakers outside too. So if you're outside, you could hear the show still. And it was, I love that idea, because that was really nice. Because it was also like the first time this year that it's really felt warm and inviting outside for me. Like, which I was great. It was great. Every time I went outside, I was so happy that it was warm out. Really appreciating that on this trip. So yeah, Mousetrap was great. Staff was really nice and helped us sell merch. We didn't ask them to, but they just did, which was good. We got some sales that we wouldn't have gotten before. The only problem was there was a USB drive sold that was blank. And if that person is listening, the owner, or Tiffany from Mousetrap, has the correct USB drive. She was selling merch and didn't know which drives were the loaded ones, and accidentally sold a blank one, which I feel bad about. But she said that customer is like a regular at that place. So we gave her correct drive, and she said she would give it to the guy. So hopefully that works out. I hate when stuff like that happens, but anyway, so we're off this upcoming weekend, and then May 11th we're playing in Harrisburg with Broctopus, who is another PA band that we've been crossing paths with a lot since we started. All super nice guys, really good band, and we're excited for that show. We're gonna have some friends in Harrisburg that we're gonna get an Airbnb with. It's gonna be a fun little vacation, mini vacation there. And and then the next week we're playing with Dopapod at the Vinosky Vinery May 16th, which is this winery in a place called Belle Vernon, which is like adjacent to the Pittsburgh area. It's like in the greater Pittsburgh area. Never played there before, but they've hosted a lot of kind of jammy shows. A lot of bands, big bands go there. It's kind of random, so I'm interested to see what it's like. And yeah, that show will be the Chalk Dinosaur Ensemble. So John and Berger are going to be joining us for that one. Then after that, it's summer camp. Well, now it's been rebranded as Soulshine Reverie, but in Indy, or Illinois, in Chillicothe, Illinois. Considering flying to that one as a one-off show, I'd almost rather take a hit to play that one, like, you know, pay a little money just to fly than to, because that's like nine plus hours away. So we'll be driving longer than we're actually there if we're to drive there. That's just might be worth it to me just to fly to that one if we can. So I'm looking into options. All we need is a guitar amp, a drum set, and two keyboard stands, and then we're good to go. We can fly. And so I'm waiting to hear back how much it costs to get that arranged. But Yeah. I am beat from that trip. I'm like not back to normal yet. Super tired. Ears kind of ringy and just like real achy. But gotta get some new merch items up on the website. We got a few new things in stock. Finally got some baseball hats, which I'd been kind of like planning and trying to research forever, but we finally got them. Got some tank tops for summer featuring the Fire on the Beach artwork. It's on a yellow shirt, but it's the Fire on the Beach design made by Riley Mate, aka Pseudo Dudo. And we got these new USB drives, and this time car compatible. So I've been testing it out. You plug it in, if your car has a USB port, you plug it in there and you have access to the whole library, not only of released Chalk Dinosaur music, but also of my side project Pelican Watch, all the things I've written for the video games, which I love a lot of those songs. Starcade Arcade is the gaming company that I wrote a bunch of music for. It includes all that, and it also includes a bunch of live recordings, a bunch of shows, and also includes a ton of ancient demos. Like, contains music all the way back from 2007 that I was making, and it kind of shows the progression of my recording and songwriting from all the way from the beginning. So some of it's a little embarrassing because it's, you know, some of the first stuff I ever made seriously, but you know, it's all there, and it's you can go as deep as you want to go. So yeah, that's a recap. Say yeah, Morgantown was a bust, Columbus was good, Nashville was good, and Indy was good. And we made it without any car issues. Everybody made it safely. Got to hang out with some great people. And yeah, now it's time to chill a little bit and get ready for Harrisburg. And one more thing, we're going to have new music coming out every month. It started in April with that collaboration with Crypto Wave Radio. There's going to be another new song coming out on May 15th, June 15th, July 15th, and so on. So these next songs that are coming out are things that me and my brother Nick have been working on. We've been playing live, and we're going to get this release train rolling. And see if it works the same way it did last time, and kind of wins the favor of the Spotify gods, and they help us spread the word to new listeners, which worked really well last time. And we're gonna see if it works again. And like I said, it's a nice way to release music as an artist. I don't really like it as a listener because I just want the whole album at once. But as an artist, it's kind of nice because every month I get that little hit of, you know, releasing and sharing a piece of music. You get that satisfaction of doing that. You feel like you're making progress. You feel like you're staying relevant. You feel like, you know, you're moving forward. But you don't have the burden of having to complete a whole dang on album at one time. So, you know, every month, new song. Hope it catches on, and you know, once we've released an album's worth of singles, we're gonna package them up on one album, and then you know, delete all the singles to keep the discography clean. But that's how it's gonna go, and hope you enjoy the new music, and also you know, check out YouTube for concert videos posted weekly, and hope y'all have a good day. And thank you for listening.